if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Notice, if by the Spirit you put to death, you kill, you mortify the flesh, the deeds of the body. Notice the promise, you will live. Why? For all who are led by the Spirit of God. Those who have the Spirit of God in them, those who the orientation of their lives are led by God's Spirit, they are sons and daughters of God, guaranteed.
Good day, everyone, and welcome back to Live in the Light. Live in the Light is a radio ministry out of Hope Bible Church that seeks to see radical transformation through the proclamation of God's Word. Now, that sounds complicated, but it's not. We are all about, we are most passionate about, we love to see God's Word, the Bible, transforming lives as it's taught. My name is Craig, and I'm the host of this program, and joining me also is our teacher, Pastor Robbie. And Robbie, today we are back in our series, Life's Too Short Not to Grow in Christ, and we're learning a lot so far about God's plans, God's big plans to grow us in Christ. And today's another important word for us.
It is, specifically, again, as we continue to hear about the role of the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Romans 8, how many times does the word Spirit show up as in Holy Spirit? It is just phenomenal. It is one of the most important chapters we could focus on, and we get to unpack it here. Yay, that is so exciting for us and so exciting. Again, we pray for you. What does it mean to live by the Holy Spirit? Sadly, in many parts of Christendom, the Holy Spirit has actually been forgotten. He can be neglected. He can be treated as an it, or he's just not even mentioned at all. We're changing that, man. We are absolutely passionate about him and his role in our lives, again, being transformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This particular text today, too, is such an important one of what it means to live by him, how we use him to kill our sin, and what it means that we belong to him, that he's in us, inheritance, and he's given us life and freedom and joy. It's just so good. And so I pray, Romans 8, 12 to 17, and maybe you've never heard it in this way before, I don't know, but I pray as you listen to it and as you hear it, the Holy Spirit himself would be teaching, encouraging, filling, and transforming. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you reach again the Living in the Light listeners today with nothing less than supernatural appointments leading to supernatural encouragement and transformation. That is why we're on the air on this station right now. Again, may it be so.
Oh, to live by the Spirit is the title of today's message. And if you can get there, as Robbie said, please turn to Romans chapter 8. Here now is God's word for all of us today.
Please grab a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. That's where we'll be together today as we continue on in our series. It's great to see so many of you. It's great to see you. Smiling faces, love that. Love that so much. And so thankful for that as well. Romans chapter 8, again, our series, Life is Too Short Not to Grow in Jesus Christ. We've been in Romans chapter 6, 7, and now again in chapters 8. It's been beautiful and powerful. And what we do here at Hope Bible Church, this is really what we consider and call expositional preaching. We're just taking the Bible, opening it up, starting at verse 1, and we just keep going. Expositional preaching is so advantageous. Why? Because God is the one who sets the menu. If it was up to us, we would choose the food we like. We do that all the time. We choose the food we like, but because God has written his word and we start verse by verse, God chooses the food we need. Not always the ones we like, but that's the ones that give us life. That is what the Holy Spirit has written down. I'm so thankful for that too, and the freedom and the life change and the blessing that it brings as well. And on that note, as we go through Romans 6, 7, and 8, and verse by verse, and just take a look at this on the screen here, we notice this, just when you're studying scripture, right, there's just some certain basic things you want to be really mindful of. So in Romans 6, the word sin is mentioned there 17 times. So when God's word is mentioning the word over and over and over again, that's a strong clue. There's a message that's trying to be sent there. In the case of Romans 6, it's that this, in Christ, we are dead to sin, and now we are alive to God. And Paul speaks over and over. In Romans 7, the word law is mentioned 23 times. That's what that chapter is about. How do we now as believers relate to the law? Again, the commandments, the old covenant, the Old Testament. How do we relate as we are seeking to be released from the law and now have freedom in Jesus Christ, and how our sin relates to the law now, but the new covenant in the Lord? In Romans 8, we see that the Holy Spirit, capital S Spirit, is mentioned 20 times in Romans chapter 8. And here comes the power. Here comes the freedom. Here is the path and the person that gives us the freedom and the power in the Christian life as well. So again, it's hard to overstate how much the Bible speaks of and the significance of, listen, the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's hard to overstate that. And by the way, hey, you just got baptized. That's so great. Bless your heart. I loved it so much. It's so good. Be encouraged, all right? Bless you, darling. Love that. It's hard to overstate the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you right now, too, how much emphasis do you place on the person of the Holy Spirit in your life? Let's say the last day, week, month, year. What kind of emphasis are you placing on the third person, again, of the Trinity, of the Godhead, God himself, the Holy Spirit, again, not in it, a person? How much emphasis are you placing? The Christian life begins with the Holy Spirit. The Christian life continues with the Holy Spirit. And the Christian life ends in glorification with the Holy Spirit. It's him. We need him so much. Everything we're seeking to do, all the lives we seek to be changed, it will not happen. All the sin we desire to kill is impossible apart from the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you just look at Romans 8, verse 9, briefly, look at that in verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, believer, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And who's this for today? Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. The Holy Spirit is everything. He is the guarantee that we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let me bottom line it today. It is impossible to see sanctification, big word meaning grow in Christ. It is impossible to grow in Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. It is theologically impossible to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. We must have, we must seek, we must long for the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit of those of us who are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence our sermon title today, oh, to live by and in the Holy Spirit. And so right now I'm gonna pray, but I'm just begging you, would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? We are entering into a battle again. Every time we gather like this, every time we open God's word, the spiritual battle begins and is ignited. Would you pray with me? Pray with me right now that the Holy Spirit will do exactly what he wants to do here and overflow whoever's watching online as well. Let's do that. Father, we so gladly take a posture of humility because we are nothing without you. We can do nothing. We are weak and so frail. As the text says today, right now, Lord, because if we are saved in Jesus Christ, we are adopted as sons and daughters. We cry then, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, Papa. We are children in need of our Father. We desperately need you. We desperately need you. And so I just imagine the Father you are, perfect, and how you rush to the aid and so quickly move to the care of your children who we are called to cry out to you. Abba, Father, please, Lord, would you help today? Would you break us free from darkness? Would you remove the lies of the enemy? And you empower us today to learn more what it means to actually kill our sin. We pray this together. And if you agree, in Jesus' name, you can say amen. Romans 8, verse 12. Take a look. Here's our text. Romans 8, verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, stemming from obviously verses 1 to 11 in the gospel, we are debtors not to the flesh. We don't owe our sin anything. I added that, to live according to the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, notice, if by the Spirit you put to death, you kill, you mortify the flesh, the deeds of the body, notice the promise, you will live. Why? For all who are led by the Spirit of God, those who have the Spirit of God in them, those who the orientation of their lives are led by God's Spirit, they are sons and daughters of God, guaranteed. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, circle, underline, highlight, as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and of children then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs, unbelievable, with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Oh, I mean, you just read this passage. Oh, to live in the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Here's our first truth today as we emphasize the person, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Number one, by the Holy Spirit, I am obliged to kill my sin. Maybe that caught you off guard. It's right there in the word. I am obliged, saved in Christ by the Holy Spirit, to kill my sin. Verse 12, so then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh, live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die eternal separation from God. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you are seeing sanctification in your life, you will live. You will live eternally. That is the sign that Jesus Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit has made you a new creation. So again, the implications here, right? Verses 1 to 11, because of the gospel, because you're alive in Christ, because you have new life in Jesus Christ, what the Bible's telling us now, listen carefully, this is one of the main points of this passage. If you're alive in Christ, the Holy Spirit's in you, you and I now, we now have an obligation to the Holy Spirit. Because of what he's done in us, because we've been saved, because we are now temples of the Holy Spirit, we now have an obligation to the Holy Spirit. Notice, now saved in Christ, we do not have an obligation to our sinful flesh. That's right there in verse 12. In fact, the New American Standard translates verse 12, so then we are under obligation not to the flesh. This makes sense, doesn't it? Like if you're saved in Christ, you're set free by grace through faith. The old self is crucified. You're a new creation. The Holy Spirit now lives within you. How could then the believer now live according to the flesh? No way, man. We've been, that's done. That's dead. We are now under obligation to the Holy Spirit. We have no obligation to the flesh. Here's what the flesh seeks to do to us every day. The flesh, though, tries to distract us and deceive us and say, you owe me. You owe me, man. Let's see some payment now. You are in debt to me. But the gospel says no. Au contraire, mon frère, no. I am alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. I owe my flesh nothing. And right, the Bible, though, is telling us here in verses 12 and 13, the person who consistently lives in the sinful desires of the flesh, if the habitual parts of their lives is in sin, the Bible tells us that person can't be saved. Okay, so meaning, doesn't mean you never sin, but the person that the whole pattern of their lives is indulging the flesh month by month and year by year and decade by decade, that person is dead. That's what verse 12 and 13 say. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's not physical death. That's spiritual, eternal death. That's hell. That's what it's talking about here. It warns us we eternally will be separated from God. That's the unbeliever. But now contrasting the believer, but if by the Spirit, believer only, if by the Spirit you kill, you mortify, you put to death the deeds of the body progressively, that's a sign you will live forever. That's the indication that you will have eternal life. So the flesh always equals death. The Holy Spirit always equals life. So the Bible warns us in several places. 1 Corinthians 6 is one. If you practice such sins, such sexual sins, such sorcery, such idolatry, if your habit and lifestyle is of sin, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible's very clear. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, well, that means you are led by the Holy Spirit, which means you must be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the contrast in verse 13 there. But if by the Spirit you put to death, right? You're a new creation. You're in Jesus Christ. Now, listen, church. We then, alive in Christ, are under obligation by the Holy Spirit, ready to kill our sin progressively. This is what, again, Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. We are obligated by the power of the Holy Spirit with the desire, again, within ourselves to see sin destroyed. Just by way of summary here in verse 13, I want you to learn here that, number one, growth for the believer in Christ is not optional. Every true believer, you're gonna have bad days, and we've learned all this through our series so far. You can go back and listen again, whatever. There's good days and bad days, but again, bouncing a yo-yo, walking up the stairs. That's growth in Christ, right? Good day, bad day, but the progression and the trajectory is this. If I'm truly saved, I have to grow. I cannot stay the same forever. It's impossible to be truly saved and not grow. Now, here's the key though. The Holy Spirit is a game changer. It's not legalism. It's not self-effort. It's not trying to do good deeds so people around will be impressed with me. It has to be by the Holy Spirit of God. And I desire for him to fill me. The Holy Spirit's the game changer. And what we see there, if by the Spirit you put to death, that's a violent term, man, mortify to kill. The battle's on, man. Like, you're gonna see life in Jesus Christ and growth. It's gonna be a battle. It's a war. It's waging against us. Growth isn't optional. The Holy Spirit's the game changer. And the battle, I mean, like, wake up and smell reality here. It's gonna be tough. But the Holy Spirit is the one to empower us to see us again kill the flesh. Let's just break down again that second part. The Holy Spirit is the game changer. But if by the Spirit you put to death, Chris Lungard provides a helpful illustration. If we try to kill our flesh on our own, if not by the Spirit, he describes it, it's like a biology teacher handing you a live wolverine and asks you to dissect it. And you can calm the wolverine down. You can try to talk smooth words into it. The wolverine whisperer you might be. And you might be able to maybe get it to be still for a little bit. But the moment you take a knife and begin to cut open a live wolverine, two words, you're dead, right? You're dead. We cannot kill our flesh on our own. That's why many of us have struggled for so long. We keep trying to defeat our sin on our own strength. It's impossible. But if by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. See, if we're gonna see victory over sin in our lives, we have to recognize the battle, but understand the power source and whom it is that allows us to see victory over such sin. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that cuts the root of sin right at the root. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us a hatred for sin. When the Holy Spirit's working within us, he causes us to feel a hatred for sin, but a love for what is good and for Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that heats up our affections for the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the leading for repentance and softens our heart for prayer. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the strength for the victory and the triumph over the sin that has held us back for so long. And there's hundreds and hundreds of testimonies across this room right now that would testify to victory over sin by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of Jesus Christ, and the desire in ourselves to see such victory. Because if you notice in verse 13, this is so key too. But if by the Spirit, what's the next word there? Don't look at me, look down. But if by the Spirit, you, that small word there, you. You see that there? This means, church, we are assumed and we are expected to actively seek the power of the Holy Spirit to see sin put down in our lives. We, though, if by the Spirit, you, believer, if by the Spirit you. So this is when we learn justification. What is justification? We learned all this through this series like 10 times. Okay, but I'll say it again. Justification is the legal declaration that you are innocent from the penalty of sin. It happens at conversion, okay? Justification, that's 100% God. You cannot save yourself. That's 100% God. He's the only one. He stands before you. He says, you've believed in my son, Jesus. You have received his righteousness. Jesus has taken on your sin. I see you now as innocent. Gavel down. You are justified in my sight, God says, never to be changed. 100% God. Sanctification is different. Sanctification, growing in Christ, is God and us. Sanctification, the power of the Holy Spirit, if by the Spirit you. Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 29, I strive with all his energy that he works in me. Exactly. Paul says in Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God who works in me to work out. See, I strive, I pursue, I long with all his energy by the Spirit you. But the point here is, church, sanctification does not work within robots. We are not robots. We wake up each day with the choice towards God or away from God. You are here today. You have made a choice, an intentional choice to gather. It's so good to see you. And it is so good to be here in this way. You have made an intentional choice. Most of you completely willingly. Some of you may be dragged, but that's God can use that too, okay? Most of you are here by choice as in you woke up, you got dressed, had a cup of coffee, and you said, I'm going to church in the pursuit of God. You decided that God didn't make you do that. That's a choice. But by the Holy Spirit, and we start to see the deeds of the body put to death, how powerful that becomes, you see, if by the Spirit you kill the flesh, decisions every day we make. John Stott, he said it this way, and I really, really love this. I'll unpack this if we don't get it the first time around. He says, there's a kind of life that leads to death. This first part's the world, okay? I actually read this morning, Proverbs 14. There's a way that seems right to man, world, but its end is death. That's a whole world. There's a way that seems right. Oh, I do this. The culture loves me. I do this. And everyone accepts me. I do this. I'm like, whatever. I get to this. I love my sin. I love sin. I love sin. I pursue all the things that God says is sinful and blasphemous. I do that. It seems like it's right in life. In the end, though, it's going to be a rude awakening because the reality, all those things in sin leads to death. However, there's a kind of death to self, death to sin, to kill the flesh that actually leads to life, which in the end will lead to everlasting life. See, this takes faith. This takes no faith. This is just everyone likes me. I'm accepted by the culture. This is the reality of the gospel. There's a kind of death. Put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. And you will live. Most people do this. Few people, but by grace and faith and following the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ do this. And in the end, it's all going to be worked out. And there's a kind of death that leads to life here now and ultimately in the time to come. Let's be so clear from verse 13 too. It is both right and biblical to hate your sin and to kill your sin. Those phrases aren't used a lot in Christianity. They should be. It's incredibly biblical. It is right and appropriate and commanded in Scripture to not only hate your sin, but to put to death your sin. John Owen said it this way, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And that's the battle we face every day, every single day. Be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And that's why Romans 8 is right here, because this is what we're called to do, to kill sin. So one of the great ways we know that we're really growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the great ways we know we're filled with the Holy Spirit is we're starting to hate our sin more. Like you see that lustful image that has been ruining your affections and ruining your life and ruining your marriage and ruining your walk with Christ. And you see that lustful image. And as you repent of that and you seek to break free from that, all of a sudden the worship of sin and lust becomes the worship of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives you the eyes to see what that lustful image actually is. It's death to your soul. It's the enemy of your life. It's that which seeks to attack you and rob you of joy and love and true purpose and fulfillment. And you are filled with a righteous indignation and you hate it. You see it for what it is. It is from the pit of hell and Satan himself, and you desire to not only hate it on the table, but get out a strong spiritual blade and cut it to pieces because it only desires to bring you to hell. You see, that's what starts to happen. You don't trifle with it. You don't play with it. You want to kill it by the Spirit, but you have to take again the opportunity, God's strength, to do such things. That is a sign you are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. An increasing hatred for that. Maybe it's gossip in your life. You've gossiped for so many years. It's rotting you from the inside. The Holy Spirit causes you to hate the gossip within that is rotting your relationships. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's sexual immorality. Maybe it's the sin. This is a huge one in the last 2 years across the church and society. Resentment. Resentment. There's so much resentment all over the place. They don't think that I think. They don't do what I do. They do this. I don't do that. I'm judging them. I'm resenting them. I'm bitter towards them. Satan has had a heyday of filling so many thousands and thousands of lives and relationships and families and beyond with bitterness, leading to resentment, and many are defiled. Satan is cackling, the Holy Spirit is quenched, and the power has left. I want you to think about that for a second, because that's one of the greatest things that's happened in the last couple of years. The sin of division, resentment, and bitterness, because people don't do things that I think they should do. There's no grace, and then sin starts to wreak havoc upon our lives. And our love for Christ goes, and our obsession with self is manifested. When the Holy Spirit's working in your life and mine, you see that the person that's being hurt the most by resentment and bitterness is me. And you start to hate it, and you want to kill it because it's stealing life and joy from you. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live, and you will live. You say, well, how do I practically fight against the flesh? We've talked about that in some detail already, but you know, one of the first things that you have to be aware of is if you want to kill your flesh, you have to starve it. Stop feeding your flesh with sinful desires. Starve it. You keep putting logs in the fire, man, it's going to burn pretty bright. You got to starve your flesh. Where's your flesh seeking to? For some of you, it's literally like gluttony is the sin. You got to starve yourself a little bit more than you have been. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you keep feeding the flesh with what it wants to eat. It's amazing how gluttony is such a deterrent of affections for Christ. I mean, you've thought about that because you're constantly stuffing your face with physical food. That there's no appetite for things other than that. That's one example among hundreds. You got to starve the flesh. You got to starve the flesh of lustful intent. You got to starve the flesh of, again, wanting to gossip. You got to starve the flesh and obsessing with money. You got to starve the flesh, and then you got to fight with spiritual weapons. You got to fight this spiritual battle, spiritual weapons, the spiritual weapons of repentance. Like that's your first step maybe today, along with me, repentance. God, forgive me for repentance, fighting this spiritual fight and war. Or spiritual weapons of prayer is so massive. Think about that, praying and seeking the Lord and asking him and Holy Spirit, fill my life. And Jesus, again, it says in Luke 11, if you who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?
And loved ones, just a reminder, we would love to hear from you if God's been moving in such a strong way, maybe even just today, providing you with that great message of hope. Our phone number is 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Or you can reach out to us via our website at liveinthelight.ca. At Live in the Light, we believe that through the faithful and the passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.
I wanna